بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد
وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين الغر الميامين. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ليشهدوا منافع لهم ويذكروا اسم الله في أيام معلومات على ما رزقهم من بهيمة الأنعام، فكلوا منها وأطعموا البائس الفقير، ثم ليقضوا تفثهم وليوفوا نذورهم وليطوفوا بالبيت العتيق. صدق الله العلي العظيم. Today was the 15th of the month of Ramadan, the auspicious occasion anniversary of the birth of the second Imam of the school of Ahlul Bayt, Al-Imam Al-Hasan Al-Mushtaba alayhi salatu wassalam. I extend my warmest congratulations to all the Muslims, all the believers, all the those who are fasting during this month, and to all of you brothers and sisters on this beautiful occasion. Imam Hassan alayhi salam, Kareem Ahlul Bayt, the Prophet and his progeny and his family were known for their generosity and their kindness, outstanding generosity. But Imam Hassan alayhi salam was, when he is mentioned, he is known for his karam, for his sharing and giving. A man comes to the city of Medina asking for help. When he travels through the streets of Medina and he receives no answer, someone comes to him and tell him, the only house that will respond to you and help you is this house. This is the house of generosity. And he was pointing to the house of Al-Imam Al-Hasan alayhi salatu wassalam. Inshallah, on other opportunities we will speak about this Imam. Let's go to chapter 28. Liyashhadu, to chapter 22, verse 28. Liyashhadu manafi'a lahum wa yadhkuru isma Allahi fi ayyamin ma'lumat. Last night we mentioned the types of benefits that Hajj provides for us. We mentioned there are two types, material and spiritual, for this dunya and for this life and the hereafter. Wa yadhkuru isma Allahi fi ayyamin ma'lumat, and they celebrate during Hajj. This is the main theme of Hajj. Why we are there? To celebrate the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fi ayyamin ma'lumat, during appointed days, specific days, ma'lumat. In Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah says, أَيَّامًا مَعْدُودَات. So we have ma'lumat and ma'dudat. Ma'lumat means specific, singled out, ma'lumat, appointed. Ma'dudat means numbered or limited. What is meant by both? There is difference, obviously, between them. Philosophers believe this one here in Surah Al-Hajj, ma'lumat, fi ayyamin ma'lumat, refers to the first 10 days of the month of the Hijjah, since Hujjaj, pilgrims, are going to be in Mecca during that day. So they have to keep themselves engaged with the remembrance of Allah. لِيَذْكُرُ اسْمَ اللَّهِ فِي أَيَّامٍ مَعْلُومَاتٍ. These specific days, the first 10 days of the Hijjah. In Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he says, معلومات وَاذْكُرُ اللَّهَ فِي أَيَّامٍ مَعْدُودَاتٍ. In Surah Al-Baqarah, معدودات, numbered or limited. Mufassireen and commentators believe that معدودات here refers to the day 11, 12 and 13. These 3 days have a special name, and the name is أيام التشريق. تشريق. Why it is called تشريق? تشريق means radiant, shining. Because they believe that once you fulfill the rites of Hajj, then your soul is going to be pure and it is going to be shining and radiant. Radiant because of the cleanliness of the soul, of the ruh. It's become so pure, so clean and immaculate that it starts to shine. Ayyam al-Tashriq. So these are 3 days. 11th, 12th and the 13th of the Hijjah. And this is when the Quran says, وَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ فِي أَيَّامٍ مَعْدُودَاتٍ. Also remember him. Usually people during these 3 days are where? Where are they during these 3 days? In Mina. In Mina. Some people, they get tired because of the Hajj. So when time comes for Mina, they want to relax and sleep and, you know, go home and take shower. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, be patient. It's only few days and you will have a plenty of time when you go, inshallah, back to your husband, back to your wife. You're going to have shower, you're going to sleep, and you're going to relax and rest. Here in this place, we want you to refine yourself. This is for refinement. You are here for a goal, for a noble goal. So don't forget the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during this season. عَلَى مَا رَزَقَهُمْ مِنْ بَهِيمَةِ الْأَنْعَامِ. Over the cattle, and also they remember the name, they mention the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, over the cattle or cattles which he has provided for them. Meaning, when you hear this meaning, is a specific meaning here. It means that when you offer the sacrifice, the udhiyah, on the 10th day, which is Eid al-Adha, when the Hujjaj, those who perform the pilgrimage, have to offer the sacrifice. This is wajib, this is mandatory when you are in Hajj. Either when you slaughter it yourself, or a friend of you, or someone on your behalf, when they offer this sacrifice, also mention the name of Allah at that time. Because this is the time of piety. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the essence of sacrifice is your piety. لَنْ يَنَالَ اللَّهَ لُحُومُهَا وَلَا دِمَاؤُهَا. Allah is not going to receive or benefit from the flesh or the blood of these animals. وَلَكِنْ يَنَالُهُ التَّقْوَى مِنْكُمْ. What reaches him is your piety. And piety here, piety specifically means one meaning, specific meaning, not piety in general. What is the specific meaning of piety in this context? Other than that, when you give the sacrifice for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that time during the Hajj, does Allah need the sacrifice from you? He doesn't need. Is Allah waiting to see you slaughtering the sheep there? He's not going to get anything out of that sheep. Nothing. No meat, no blood, no. Nothing will reach him. What would reach him? Only your piety. But piety, although piety is taqwa here, is a specific branch of piety. Ahsant. Absolute obedience. Piety here means, in this context, means absolute obedience. Why? Because some people will wonder, why should we give sacrifice? What's the philosophy of sacrifice? Here, we are here in the desert. We did the tawaf, we did the sa'i, we slept in the desert, we spent our money. Why to spend another 500 riyals, for instance, $150, for what? Allah says, I am testing your obedience. Nothing will reach me from this. No benefit will reach me except your piety. I am testing your piety. And piety here means absolute surrenderance and obedience to Allah. Not to argue with Him. Not to tell Him, I am not going to waste my money here. So this is the essence of sacrifice. وَلَكِنْ يَنَالُهُ التَّقْوَى مِنْكُمْ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَكُلُوا مِنْهَا وَأَطْعِمُ الْبَائِسَ الْفَقِيرُ. Once you slaughter this animal, while remembering the name of Allah, and devoting this sacrifice only for Him, not for any other consideration, once you do the sacrifice, don't throw the meat away. فَكُلُوا مِنْهَا. Eat part of it, and give the other part to الْبَائِسَ الْفَقِيرُ. Faqir, ba'is, someone who is distressful, someone who does not have food, he is cut off in distress. Ba'is, faqir, someone who is in need and in want. Therefore, the meat should not be thrown away. What we see today, unfortunately, is that tons and tons of that meat is being wasted. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't waste. إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُسْرِفِينَ. Allah does not like the wasters. Wasting, excessiveness, israf, immoderation, going, exceeding the proper bounds, and going too far. This is israf. Israf is abhorred in Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about two things. One, about the food. Allah says, وَكُلُوا وَاشْرَبُوا in Surah Al-A'raf. وَكُلُوا وَاشْرَبُوا وَلَا تُسْرِفُوا. Enjoy the food, enjoy the drink, but don't waste. Don't waste with moderation. You may tell him, Ilahi, I am not throwing it away. Allah says, even too much food in your stomach will be considered waste. Wasting. You are wasting the food. When you put too much food beyond your capacity, beyond your needs, more than what you need, this is also waste. This is israf. This is immoderation. وَكُلُوا وَاشْرَبُوا وَلَا تُسْرِفُوا إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُسْرِفِينَ. This is regarding the food. Regarding israf in general, immoderation in general, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Furqan, when He speaks about وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ, the qualities of the servants of God, He says, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا أَنْفَقُوا لَمْ يُسْرِفُوا وَلَمْ يَقْتُرُوا. The believers are the ones that when they spend, they neither يُسْرِفُوا. They are not extravagant and not وَلَمْ يَقْتُرُوا and not miserly. So what they are then? وَكَانَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ. What are they? وَكَانَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ قَوَامًا. But hold a just balance between the two. Neither israf, immoderation in the spending, nor being mean and miserly and tight-fisted, and keep the money, don't spend it on yourself or your family. Be moderate in using the power at your home. Be moderate, even if you have money to pay the Edison company. Be moderate when you use the water at home, in the shower, when you take wudu, the husbands, especially when they wash the dishes, mashallah, every night. Be moderate in that. Be moderate even in the gas, in using your car. If this trip is unnecessary, I know President Bush will be happy with this statement. If this trip is unnecessary, not for the masjid, the masjid is necessary, but other trips, then don't waste. If you can cram your family in one car rather than having 3-4 cars. Amazing. Amazing. In some third world countries, you see small cars which has a capacity of 2 people, and instead they put 20. In America, you have these huge cars and only one driver. The wife takes her own car, the husband takes his own car. If they have a son and daughter, each one takes his own car and they're going to the same destination, to the same place. This is waste. This is israf. This is israf. Even if you have money to pay for the gas, still Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we gave you the money to be moderate in the spending. You cannot say, I have too much money, I am free to do that. Money is a gift from Allah, is an amana, is a trust. Allah has given you this trust, and you have to be very wise and very careful when you spend from this trust from Allah. When you go to the shopping, if you can buy a shirt for $20, why do you pay $200 for that? Even if you have money, even if you have too much money. I remember in one of the trips, a man was with us in Hajj, and he spent most of his time in the shopping centers. I didn't see him in Masjid al-Haram, I didn't see him in Masjid al-Nabi, I didn't see him. The only time I see him either sleeping or shopping, mashallah, between these two. His sa'i and his tawaf was between the bed and the shopping center. So one day I said to him, listen, are you in Hajj or you are in Paris? We are in Hajj here. He said, Sayyid, I have $10,000, I have to spend them. I said, this is crazy. This is crazy. You have $10,000, it means you don't need. Sometimes you need to buy, it is necessary, go and buy $20,000, $30,000. But sometimes when it is unnecessary, when you have money, that does not mean you have to go and waste this money. If you have too much money, there are other people who are in need to $1 today. $1, not $1,000, $1. Go and give it to them. Share this money with them. Don't go and waste it on shopping here, buying things that you are not. Sometimes, wallahi, some people are not going to use them, not only one time. They bring them home, they put them in the garage, and after 10 years, when they are moving from that house, they realize they have boxes and bags of things that they have never used. This is israf. إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُسْرِفِينَ. This is tabdhir. إِنَّ الْمُبَذِّرِينَ كَانُوا إِخْوَانَ الشَّيَاطِينَ. Mubadhirin, those who waste their wealth and their money and their time on buying and accumulating things that they don't use, are the siblings of the Satan. إِنَّ الْمُبَذِّرِينَ كَانُوا إِخْوَانَ الشَّيَاطِينَ. Give it to others. وقتی که شما میرید بازار، مخصوصا الانم که برنامه های بازار دیگه داره گرم میشه الحمدلله، مسئله Thanksgiving میاد و بعدش هم کریسمس و بعدش هم ماشاءالله عید نوروز هم میاد. اگر بتونید شما یک پیرهنی که قیمتش $50 باشه در یه جای دیگر، شما چرا $500 میدید؟ این اسراف جایز نیست. شما اگر 35 جفت کفش تو خونه دارید، چرا دیگه میرید 35 تا دیگه رو میخرید، میاید اونجا میذارید؟ کفشی که شما شاید سالی یه دفعه هم استعمال نمی کنید، این اسرافه عزیزان. الان خبر میاد از پاکستان، الان هم فصل زمستون اونجا، میدونید دیگه زمستون شروع شد، عده هستن در بیابون لباس ندارن. وقت ما خونه های ما پره از لباس هایی که ما ده سال یک دفعه هم استفاده نمی کنیم. این اسرافه. خداوند میگه اون افرادی که اسراف میورزن، من اینها رو دوست ندارم. معنای دوست ندارم چیه؟ یعنی این آیا میشه اون شخص مصرف، اون میشه وقتی که خدا اون دوست نداره اون میتونه بره بهشت روز قیامت؟ انه لا يحب المصرفين. Therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't throw the meat away when you slaughter it. Part of it for you as an obedience. This is why our scholars and jurists, our mujtahideen, they say that when you are in Hajj, it is wajib, mandatory on you to eat from that sacrifice. You have to eat part of it. You have to eat part of it, and you have to give another part as a gift to your friend, and the third part you have to give it for the poor and the needy. In this ayah, Allah refers to them as al-ba'is al-faqir. In another 2-3 ayats from now, in ayah 36, Allah says, فَكُلُوا مِنْهَا وَأَطْعِمُوا الْقَانِعَ وَالْمُعْتَرِ. Eat yourself and give the other portion to those two categories. Al-qani'. Qani' is the one who is in contentment. He has qana'ah. He has qana'ah. He has dignity. He would not come to you and ask you. Even if he dies of hunger, he would not tell you, give me. He'd rather die, starve to death, rather than coming and begging. This is qani'ah. Mu'tar is the one who comes, who asks. He come and he stretches his hand and he tells you, give me. Allah says you have to give both. The one who does not ask, you have to go to him. And brothers and sisters, you have to pay special attention to those people. Those people would never come to you. He could be your neighbor, he could be your friend. Always try to help others, especially those who do not ask. Those who have dignity. Those who have honor and respect. They would not ask. So go and you ask about them and give them in a dignified way. Al-qani'a wal-mu'tar. Khudawand mi farmayad, bedid un gusht ra bedid be dono ashkhas. Yek edde. Unhaye ke qani' hassan. Qani' yani kisi ke mahroom, faqiram has, mustamand has, vali az shoma nemi porse. دستش به شما دراز نمیشه، نمیگه که آقا من نیاز دارم، عزت نفس داره. و همچین افراد زیادن ها در جامعه ما. حالا مثلا شاید آمریکا زیاد نباشن، ولی در کشورهای اسلامی زیادن، عزت نفس دارن، نمیان به شما بگن آقا ما شام شب نداریم، ما لباس برای بچه هامون نداریم، شما باید برید سراغ اینها. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says ثم ليقضوا تفثهم وليوفوا نذورهم وليطوفوا بالبيت العتيق. These things are done on the 10th day of the Hijjah. 10th day of the Hijjah, the day of Eid. ثم ليقضوا. Then let them complete the rites prescribed on them. ليقضوا تفثهم. تفث here means the excess of the hair and nails. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to specific act on the day of Eid. Those of you who have been to Hajj, they know. After you stone the shaitan, la'natullahi alayh, and then you offer your sacrifice, what do you do, the third act? Taqsir. Taqsir, signaling that you are exiting from the state of ihram, the state of self-control, ihram, where you forbid on yourself about 25 items the day you started this journey, this ihram. So to signal the end of the state of ihram, you have to perform the taqsir. Those who are going for the first time, they have to shave and come with a bald hair, bald head. Of course, sisters should not shave, huh? One journey, some years ago, one of them, she went and she shaved, you know. However, we don't know what happened later on in her life, but we hope that she's still She survived her marriage, inshallah. By the way, you know, in other traditions, like the Jewish tradition, on the eve of the wedding, the bride has to shave her hair for her husband as a gesture of servitude and obedience. I'm not kidding. This is serious. On the night of her wedding, the bride has to shave. The religious ones, of course. Not the non-religious, the secular. The religious one, the wife, the bride, has to shave her hair on the night of the wedding to show her husband the absolute obedience. Wallahi, if we ask this in Islam, you know what will happen to us, men? They will throw us in this Newport Beach here. We will drown. Men will drown, believe me. And then they say Islam is anti-women. Women are second-class citizen in Islam. Because we have not read about others. And we have not read even about Islam, about women's rights in Islam. All what we know, all what people know about Islam is what they hear in the media. However, so as a sign of obedience to Allah, the first time goers have to shave, and the second time or the third time, and those who go more than one time, they cut their hair. Also, women and sisters, they also cut their hair. This is ثُمَّ لِيَقْضُوا تَفَثَهُمْ. But here is not only specifically taqseer, it's to clean themselves. To clean themselves, and after they do the tawaf, they also, some of the ulama, they believe that after the tawaf, they have to wear perfume. Wearing perfume, ta'tir, which is highly recommended. By the way, even during the day of Ramadan, it is one of the highly recommended mustahabbat in Islam, is to wear perfume during the day of Ramadan. We read in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, كان صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم ينفق على الطيب أكثر مما ينفق على الطعام. The prophet will spend more money on perfume than the food. And when once he passes in a road, in an alleyway in Medina, for 3 days, Muslims, for 3 days, after he passes in that place, through that road, they know that the Prophet has been through this road because of his fragrance, the fragrance of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. This is why it is important. A sister asked me, then why sisters are haram to use perfume? It's not haram. Yes, if you want to empty the whole bottle on you, of course this is haram. Because you are wasting the whole bottle, number one. And you're going to lose your hair if you put it on your head, by the way. But be moderate. Because some sisters, they use perfume for the outside, but for her husband, no, never, until the day of judgment, inshallah, until he dies, she would never use perfume for him. Islam says, be moderate. نظر بنده نظر همین علما. علما میگن که اشکال نداره. خانم ها میتونن عطر بذارن ولی عطر هیجان کننده نباشه برای دیگران. برای دیگران نباشه، برای شوهرش باشه، در بین خانم ها اشکال نداره، ولی برای مردها هیجان کننده نباشه. قرآن اسلام که نمیگه خانم ها باید همیشه بوی قرمه سبزی بدن. یه خورده هم بله، به هر حال شما گفتید من فارسی نمیگم، امشب دیگه زیاد گفتم، دیدید؟ Therefore, ثُمَّ لِيَقْضُوا تَفَثَهُمْ, to clean themselves, to wash themselves, to take a shower after they throw the ihram, and to wear perfume. This is number one. وَلْيُوفُوا نُذُورَهُمْ, وَلْيُوفُوا نُذُورَهُمْ, and to perform their vows. What is the nadhr here? Nadhr has a general meaning and has a specific meaning. General meaning is when you make a vow. When you promise to do something, this is nadhr. When you pledge to do something. But here in this context, after you finish the a'mal of the 10th day of Hajj, the 10th of Dhul Hijjah, the day of Eid, what is it Allah is trying to tell us? وَلْيُوفُوا نُذُورَهُمْ, perform their vows. What is it? Brothers and sisters, Hajj has some outward rites and obligations, such as the tawaf, the sa'i, the mina, arafat, the sacrifice, the stoning the shaitan. These are outward. These are exterior obligations. And at the same time, Hajj has some inward, interior obligation. What is the internal obligation here? Is to be always with Allah and to dedicate everything you do for Him. Not to forget about that. Because some people in the middle of the tawaf, they forget why they are there. They forget why they are doing the tawaf. Some of them they get mad, some of them they get crazy, some of them they lose their temper, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I want you to fulfill your vow that you came for, your pledge that you came for to the fullest while you are doing the outward rites, manasik of the Hajj. Don't forget what we taught you, Allah is saying. What we asked you to do is the exterior. But at the same time, do not forget the spirit of the Hajj, the philosophy of the Hajj. Don't forget that you are there for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are there to show your servitude, to prove it, that I am here, I am the khadim, I am the slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and nothing else. You have to maintain this spirit of Hajj, this spirit of dedication. Don't forget about it. Some people may maintain it in the first day, but the rest of them, they are overwhelmed with the friends and with stories, with shopping, with... Allah says, don't be overwhelmed with that. The shaitan tries to take you away from Allah, even during the tawaf. Even when you are throwing stones at him, the shaitan is going to take you east and west. You start wandering with your thoughts. Don't forget you are there for a purpose. وَلْيُوفُوا نُذُورَهُمْ, and then وَلْيَطَّوَّفُوا, let them circle and circumambulate الْبَيْتِ بِالْبَيْتِ الْعَتِيقِ. عَتِيق has two meanings. What is the first meaning of عَتِيق? Old and ancient. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to that house as the very first house built as a temple. إِنَّ أَوَّلَ بَيْتٍ وَضِعَ لِلنَّاسِ لَلَّذِي بِبَكَّ. This is the ancient. This is the first house of worship on earth provided for people to worship. So this is one meaning of عَتِيق. What is the other meaning of atiq, which is more important than the first meaning? Ahsant. Atiq comes from atq, and atq means to free. To free what? To free whom? Huh? Philosophers believe that it has two meanings. One is the house itself is freed. Freed from what? Freed from ownership of people. Nobody plays a monopoly on that house. The house does not belong to any group, to any government, to any entity, to any prophet. It belongs to Allah. Allah is the owner of that house. So no one should play any monopoly on that house. No one should say that this house belongs to me. I have the keys to that house. This is one meaning. It is freed from any ownership, human ownership. This is why it is recommended that when you go to Mecca, to Al-Masjid Al-Haram, since you're going to feel that this house belongs to you, does not belong to a specific person. It belongs to the entire humanity. Linnas. Allah says linnas. To the entire humanity. Then since you have this feeling, you believe that you are at home there, you are not stranger, you are not an outsider, then you offer your salat in full. Dhuhr, Asr, Isha, you do them, although you are traveling. And you might not stay in Mecca for 10 days. But inside Al-Masjid Al-Haram, and some people believe, some ulama believe inside entire Mecca, the old Mecca, not the new Mecca. You offer your salat in full. Since you feel there, you are at home. This is one meaning. The other meaning of atiq is that it frees the people. It gives a freedom to whom? The people from the slavery of what? Of the slavery of our desires and sins. It will free us from that slavery. And that is, in fact, what most of the scholars believe. This is the meaning of atiq. Frees you, makes you a free person again. When you come back home, you are a free person. You have been freed from the captivity, from the slavery of your desires, of the sins. The hadith says, إِذَا أَرَدْتَ عِزًّا بِلَا عَشِيرًا. Because sin is a humiliation, is captivity. Captivity, even the person who commits the sin, if he gets an opportunity to go back to himself, he will realize that he had humiliated himself. He had harmed himself. He had injured himself. Brings a humiliation. Ma'asiyah and sin brings a humiliation. It lowers yourself. وَإِذَا أَرَدْتَ عِزًّا بِلَا عَشِيرَةٍ وَهَيْبَةً بِلَا سُلْطَانٍ فَخْرُجْ مِنْ ذُلِّ مَعْصِيَةِ اللَّهِ إِلَى عِزِّ طَاعَتِهِ فَخْرُجْ مِنْ ذُلِّ مَعْصِيَةِ اللَّهِ. المعصية تأتي بالذل على الإنسان إلى عز طاعته، والطاعة تأتي بالعزة والكرامة للإنسان حتى هو في داخله يشعر بالعزة. إمام عليه السلام says, if you intend to free yourself from lowering yourself, putting yourself down, humiliating yourself, then it's up to you to do that. It's up to you to free yourself by refraining from ma'asiyah. Stop committing the sin and go back to Allah. You will feel inside you, you are dignified, you are someone important. You are not cheap. Do not cheapen yourself by committing a sin. The sin will cheapen, will devalue us. And we feel it, huh? We, the first people, we going to feel it. We going to feel that we have been devalued. When you commit a sin, gross sin, the same day, you're going to feel that you have devalued yourself. So don't do that. Give value to yourself. Give protection to yourself. Amir al-Mu'mineen mi farmayat gunah. انسان را ذلیل میکند. خود انسان ها احساس ذلت میکند. خود انسان وقتی که یک گناه بزرگ مرتکب میشود، خودش وقتی که میرد خونه، وقتی که یه لحظه میآید که با خودش بشینه و فکر کنه درباره اون کاری که مرتکب شد، احساس ذلت میکند. خود فرد نیاز نیست به کسی بیاد بهش بگه شما ذلیل هستی، شما فلان فلان فلان. نه، خود انسان احساس گناه میکند و احساس ذلت. بنابراین امیر المؤمنین میگه خودت را ارزان نکن ها. قیمت زیادی داری، قیمت در بازار زیاده، خودت رو نفروش به قیمت ارزون. گناه مرتکب شدن، هر گناهی که باشد، چه غیبت باشد و یه دروغ کوچیک، چه دزدی و زنا و شراب و کارهای دیگر، قیمت ما رو میبره پایین. حدیث میفرماید اگر بخواید بدانید شما در محضر خداوند تبارک و تعالی منزلت و قدر شما کجاست، آیا بالاست یا پایینه، شما به خودتون نگاه کنید در لحظه گناه، ببینید اهمیت خدا در اون لحظه نزد شما زیاده یا کمه، آیا به خدا محل میدید یا نمیدید. اگر واقعا در وقت گناه شما به خداوند توجه میکنید و محل میدید و اون گناه رو مرتکب نمی کنید، یعنی خداوند پیش شما خیلی عزیزه، خیلی بالاست. همچنین شما هم نزد خدا خیلی عزیزید. ولی اگر در لحظه گناه شما اصلا نه به یاد خدا نه هیچی، حتی هم به یاد خدا انسان بیفته اصلا هیچی اهمیت نمیده. بنابراین معلومه که شما هم ارزش شما نزد خدا هم چیزی نیست. We decide where we stand next to Allah. Brothers and sisters, Allah left this matter open for us. Allah says, I want you to choose your own seat. Sometimes, few days before your flight, you go and select your seat. Do you do that? Do you select your seats yourself on the computer? You don't have to call them. You select it. You go to they show you the aircraft configuration, the map. And then you go and you select. Of course, all the aisles are gone, so don't waste your time. Yeah. You have to sit in the middle, but you have to choose whether in the front or in the back. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I will assign this map to you. You choose your seat next to me. Do you want the first class seat or the lower class seat? It's up to you. How is that? Allah says, at the time of ma'asiyah, look at me and remember me. If you respect me at that time, if you refrain from the ma'asiyah just because of me, just because I am watching you, out of respect for me, then you have a first class seat with me. I'll give you a 1A next to me. But if you forget about me, the sin is more important than God, then you can barely make it in the flight. There is no seat reserved for you. وَإِذَا أَرَدْتَ عِزًّا بِلَا عَشِيرَةٍ وَهَيْبَةً بِلَا سُلْطَانٍ فَاخْرُجْ مِنْ ذُلِّ مَعْصِيَةِ اللَّهِ إِلَى عِزِّ طَاعَتِهِ. اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات، تابع اللهم بيننا وبينهم بالخيرات، إنك مجيب الدعوات.